Hallelujah. He's the Lord because he lives, because there's an empty grave. We have hope of the morrow. We have hope for today. We have his presence. Thank God for an empty grave. The Bible says the power of his resurrection. He said, I can lay down my life, I can pick it back up. All power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Wow, I'm glad I've got a powerful Savior today. I'm glad that he's not made out of rock and stone and something I can tangible that I can handle. He's Almighty God and he's sitting on the throne. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. We serve a risen Savior today. And because he lives, we can live also. Glory, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, Lord. I tell you, if we really got the grips of it, they wouldn't none of us be sitting still. I tell you, it's just, wow. Praise the Lord. Does anyone have anything on your heart this morning? Bigger and bigger, you ever? That's kind of the way his message is gone. I don't know. Probably, pretty sure you're going to get some tonight, and I don't know how long ago, but it, wow, the Lord's just moved in a special way. I want to read you something to start out with, and I think I was in the seventh grade, and we were we had to memorize, learn this poem. And it has really stuck to me stuck in my mind through the years. And the older I get, the more the truth that I see in it. And most of y'all have heard it. It's from Robert Frost, "The Road Was Not Taken." And it has just spoke volumes to me in my Christian life and through life in general. I knew back then that I wasn't living like I should, but I knew it's the decision and the path that I walked. It was my decision, and I had to decide which way I was going to go, and the one that's less taken was going to be the better route. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both and be one traveler long I stood, and looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then tucked the other as just as fair, having perhaps the better claim, because it was grassy and wanted wear, though as for that passing, there had warned them really about the same. And both that morning equally lay, in leaves no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day, yet knowing how way leads on the way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh, somewhere ages and ages hence, two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by. That has made all the difference. And this morning I've got it's on my heart, and the Lord just laid it in a heavy, heavy way about walking, and I jotted down the title of, "What Road Have We Chosen to Walk?" Or who have we chosen to walk with? What is our road? And we're going to spend some time talking about walking this morning. And the Lord, and every time I look around and then and I'm thinking, and the Lord just showed me so many scriptures. And then Tim, really teaching Sunday school, talked a lot about walking this morning. Abraham walking with God. And God said, if you'll walk with me. And that is where... sometimes I wonder if I've got the right message. And in Sunday school, it was like, amen. The Holy Spirit said, amen. You're where you need to be. So this morning, if you would turn with me to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 6. Very, very familiar passage. The first message I ever preached come out of this verse. Jeremiah 6:16, and then we'll turn over to 2 John chapter 1, verse 4. Read the verse over there also. If you, when you find your place, if you would stand with me. Well, I tell you, I could preach a revival on Jeremiah 6:16. Thus saith the Lord. Let's go to 15. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. Therefore, they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein. And ye shall find rest for your souls. I'm not going to finish that verse right then. Right now, let's in 2 John chapter 1, verse 4. I rejoiced greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth as we have received the commandment from the Father. Father, we come to you again and we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for your blessings. I thank you, Father, for the hope and the promises that we have as believers. Because you live, we can live also. And Lord, I pray today that you'd just stir our hearts and that you'd direct us. And Father, that you'd speak to us today and speak to our hearts about our walk. Lord, how we conduct ourselves and where we are in life and what path that we're going down and who we walk with. And Lord, that there's so many different ways and things that you can speak to our hearts about today. And I pray, Father, that you would minister to us by the power of the Holy Spirit, God, that you'd change us and get a hold of us today. Open our eyes and our spiritual eyes and our mind. Give us a spiritual hearing this morning, Lord. And I pray that you'd open our ears. And the Bible said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. And God, today, and I pray that you'd open up our hearts, that you give us spiritual hearing, and that we'd hear what the Spirit has got to say to our hearts today. God, minister to us, and I ask you, Lord, I pray you rebuke the devil and get him out of here and build a hedge around and keep him away so you have a good shot at us today. Lord, that we help us to be focused and devoted completely on you. We love you and we praise you. And I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, here in Jeremiah, he said, stand in the ways and see. And pretty much saying, just walk out and look. And look which way. He said, stand in the ways and see. Look down that road. Look where you think the end of that road's going to go before you take it. And think it out and look the other way. And he's saying, be careful where you go. And don't just haphazardly, because everybody else is taking one path, and let's all go that way. If we follow the multitudes, we just might follow them right into hell. And sometimes we have to step aside, and sometimes it's not real popular. Sometimes we're called narrow-minded. Sometimes we're called bigots. Sometimes there's things like that, and just because the multitudes do something. How many times have we heard, well, if the rest of your friends jumped off a building, would you jump off? See, I'm afraid that so many folks and so many people and so many churches and so many religions and so many leaders and so many followers and everybody, we're looking for a new path. We're looking for a new way to walk.
Well, the old ways, it's the old way, and we want new, and there's new religions. I've heard of one next Thursday religion. Don't have any kind of spiritual thing at all with it. It just about being good, about this. I mean, way out there. And you got things that, and a lot of different religions, and they've got plans, and they're saying this, and they're saying that, and I worked with a guy, and he was a Wiccan, proclaimed himself to me, and we talked, and I didn't ridicule him. I was nice to him, and we talked going to work, and just me and him a lot of times, and I said, well, What are you basing this on? What's your hope? And he said, well, we do good to everybody, do the best you can do, help everybody, and do more good than bad, and just hope at the end you've done enough. I said, boy, that's sad. You know what come out of his mouth? That is sad. I said, let me tell you another way. Let me tell you another way. I said, then when I got finished, I said, now I've got hope. A blessed hope. And just because it's new, just because it's gussied up, and just because that it's something that's a little easier to walk, the branches might not be as low, they may be cleared out a little bit, the grass may not be as thick, that don't mean that that's the path that we need to travel on. He said, stand and look. And, you know, I tell you what, I think what he's saying, look at where you're heading, Israel, and look back where God brought Israel from. And see how they got out of Egypt. See how they got to where God has established and brought this nation. And that's the road you need to walk on. And we look back to our forefathers, and I tell you what, I just tickled to death, just as happy as a hog eating slop to be a Free Will Baptist. I'm not saying anybody else. I'm not condemning nobody else. I just like the Free Will Baptist and where they started from. I like to walk, and I'm Free Will. That's why I'm Free Will Baptist. I wasn't raised Free Will Baptist, but I like the past. I like the godly men. I like a lot of the people. That's why I like the Christian walk. I know some godly men that wasn't Free Will Baptists. I got a lot of respect for them. I love them. They had a big impact on my life. But go seek ye out the old paths. This newfangled stuff, if it's not Jesus Christ, Him crucified, risen from the dead, ascended into heaven, and coming back, run from it. Amen. Anything other than that is a bad path to take. Amos 3:3, the Bible says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Oh, I may not even get through the introduction this morning. See, we walk with what we agree with. If you're walking our walk and we're walking, we're in agreement with who we're walking with and where we're going. If me and Jim head out and go and walk to Unicoi, the little town out here, we's in agreement that we're going to take whichever way we're going to go, we're going to walk that way, and we're not going to quit till we get to Unicoi. That's an agreement. That's walking together. We cannot walk with the Lord unless we agree with Him. Amen. You might say, preacher, this is pretty elementary here. This is that stuff we knew that. To walk with the Lord don't mean I said a prayer at the altar one time. Come on now. Don't mean I pay a tithe of everything I got. Don't mean that one time I signed and signed up and got in a church and I'm a member. Maybe Mays Jackson said, I don't care if you've been baptized so many times, the tadpoles know your name. That don't mean you're saved. Preacher, I walked the aisle. That don't mean you're saved. Preacher, I made a confession. I'm telling you, there's a lot of people that's made confessions at one time of their life that it's not living and it's not walking with the Lord. Now, I'm not trying to get anybody to doubt your salvation this morning, but I'm saying just because we say and do things don't mean that we're walking and we're where we're supposed to be with God. It's a walk. It's not just a sprint. It's not a casual passing. It's not something that we do. Christianity is not what we do. It's who we are. Going to church is not a weekly thing that we do. It's a part of a life that we have as we walk in the Lord with Jesus Christ. And y'all getting a watered down version. I got the full thing in my study. I'm telling you. And the Lord hit me right between the eyes. Are we walking with the Lord? We would come to church, preacher. We read our Bible, preacher. We pay our tithes. We even help VBS. But are we walking with God? Are we in agreement with the whole 66 books? Well, there's a couple of things he should have left out. When we get to that point, we're in trouble. We're not walking. We're not in full agreement. Amen. See, today's a lot of the religions, well, did God really say that? Yeah, he did. Yeah, the whole thing, read it. It's not changed. It's the same today, yesterday, today, and forevermore. My word is settled in heaven. It's the Word of God, and if we are going to walk with God, we got to be in agreement with every bit of it. Our walk is our characteristic. Psalm 1:1 said, blessed is man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. What did he say? He said, be in disagreement with the counsel of the ungodly. Not to walk in it. Do we get our counsel from wise Christian men and women? See, a characteristic of the man, it's our way of life, it's our conduct, that's our walk. Does our walk line up with our talk? You can talk. I tell you, I can talk a real good football game. But those days are gone. I can't walk it. In just a minute, I'll be down and out. One hit from the defensive back, I'm Dover. That'd be it. But man, I can talk it. Now, I can tell you how to do it and what it ought to be and how to get scheme up. And are we that way as a Christian? Do we know all the words, all the lingo? Oh, everything. Come on. Somebody talk to me. We've got that down. Bless you, brother. But are we walking with God? I asked Lord, I said, Lord, I need you to help me convey this like you've conveyed it to me. See, in the Kings and the Chronicles, if you read back, it goes on and on and on. It'll say, talking about a certain king, it'll say, and he walked in the ways of his father. or he walked not in the ways of his father, or he walked in the ways of Jeroboam, or he walked in the ways of Asa. He walked in, and it goes on and on, and he walked, he did like they did. He was in agreement with the ones that was in idolatry worship, or he was in agreement with the ones that tore down the idols. And that's how God looked, and that's how that in the Bible that it's portrayed that when God looks down and he looks down, are we walking in the way of the forefathers? Are we walking in the way that that preacher used to point that finger out like Alfred Cutshaw did at me? I'm telling you, it takes big shoes to walk down his path. See, you can't walk unless you're in agreement. When Israel was in agreement with God, God blessed them and delivered them. The greatest thing, one of the greatest things ever was, and God, the mighty power of God was showed when Moses went into Egypt and he said, "Let my people go." And God used the 10 plagues and moved and hardened Pharaoh's heart and broke and destroyed him and the whole army in the Red Sea. God parted the Red Sea, brought them out, fed them in the wilderness. They wore the same clothes for 40 years and the shoes didn't wear out. I've probably got some clothes I've had for 40 years, but they won't fit me. See, and when they got out of agreement with God and they quit walking with God, he'd let another nation take them and take them in captivity. They had a lot of troubles. They got to murmuring one time and sent some snakes to come and bite them. They murmured and so many different things. The earth opened up and swallowed Korah and a bunch that was going against Moses. Miriam, Moses' sister, even said, spoke against Moses one time, and she turned leprous. I tell you, when we're in a disagreement, when we do not walk in the ways of God, that we are not going to get the blessings of the Lord. Why is all this going on to us? Because we may not be walking like we ought to. I would, a lot of times when I don't finish the message, I'll say, "Come back now and you'll hear the rest." I don't know if I need to tell you that or not. You may not want to hear no more of it. Genesis 3:8. I'm telling you, as you can see, I'm still in the introduction. And as you can see, that this, the more I thought of this, the more God just opened up my mind. And I'd even sat in here while they were singing and jotted down two more things this morning. It'd be tonight or next week sometime. But God is interested in our walk. He's interested in the way we conduct our life and our businesses and the way that we act when we're out in public, the way we act when we're by ourselves. Genesis 3:8. Bible said, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves in the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden." And most agree that, but I take this verse that probably in the cool day when it would cool down, the breeze would blow, and God himself would come and walk through the garden and commune with Adam and Eve. That's why he made them. That's why he made us. He wants to commune with us. They were walking with God. They walked with God through the garden. They walked through the cool of the day. And I don't, you know, I have crazy thoughts, but a thought, and I could see an animal. Adam say, "God, what are we going to name that?" And he said, "That's your job. You've got dominion over all. You name him. What do you think's a good name for?" Amen. And they were friends. What a fellowship. What a time. And they were together. They walked together. They were in agreement. Everything. And I guarantee you that Eve would say, "Oh, it's about time for the Lord to come." And Adam would say, "Oh, wow. I can't wait. Spend a little time with him this evening." I can't wait till we walk and let him speak to us and teach us. And oh, wow, what a time to be in. Then sin moved in. And they quit walking. See, that evening when he came down after they'd sinned, that they were hid. The same God they loved and worshiped and wanted to come, now they couldn't even see him because they were naked and they wasn't like they ought to be. And that's why what happens in our lives, the God that saved us and the God we love and the Jesus we adore, and then when sin creeps in, we can't even stand before him. We can't go and get away in our time of prayer and worship and study him because we've got something in our lives that's standing between us and him, and his presence is not near as pleasant as it used to be. See, it was in his word, and in that, if you have noticed that, he said that they heard the voice of God walking in the garden. It was a different. That's like when I was growing up, when I heard Timothy Dwayne. It's a different tone. I knew the old boys in heap trouble then. And that's the way that it was that day when God walked in. And they were hiding and trembling and trying to cover up because it had changed. When we disagree and we're walking and our life is in disagreement with the Word of God and the will of God and the ways of God, that it's a different fellowship and a different time when we get to meet Christ. Folks, I don't want to meet him as my judge in that state. I don't want to stand before him and we have not in communion. We're not in agreement. And again, I believe I said it. I'm not talking about coming to church. I'm not talking about paying your tithe, which I encourage that. I encourage coming to church, forsake not the assembling. I encourage all of these things. But that's not where I'm getting down this morning. I'm getting to where we live. I'm talking about the heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. Where your heart is. Wherever your treasure is, there your heart's going to be also. Where's our heart? Where are we walking? See, we can't walk with God unless we're in agreement with him about sin. That's where everybody sins, preacher. We all sin daily. And that's the truth. But sin's such a big deal to God that he saw fit to send his only begotten Son from heaven to die on the cross so our sins could be forgiven. Sin's a big deal with God. See, we've watered down sin. Well, God's going to forgive us. I love 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and forgive us all. But I don't need to be using that verse. Amen. If we sin, but it don't give us a ticket to sin. And we ought to hate sin. See, if we're in agreement with God, that we get mad when we sin. I've done it again. Instead of saying, well, everybody does it. See, are we in agreement with God that man should not sin? Sin means to miss the mark. Sin means to mess up. Sin, it's wrong. It's wrong, the Bible says. Sin will send you to hell. Sin is what separates us from God. Sin is what keeps us from walking with God. And we've watered down sin. Our little besetting sins. We've all got them, preacher. We got them, but that don't make it right. Well, I don't sin as much as I used to. Well, that's a good thing. But we ought not sin any. See, I was in a conversation with a couple of preachers not too long ago, and we were talking to one of them, and I believe him. I don't think he was saying he every night before he goes to bed, he confesses his sins to God. And he said, I know I sin, but he said, sometimes I really struggle with seeing what I did that day. I said, man, you're a lot closer to the cross than I am. You've got to figure it out better than I do. They jump right down my face. Sin will send us to hell. But preacher, we're saved. Sin will send you to hell. We cannot sin and get by with it. We cannot sin and claim the blessings of God. When Israel sinned, when Israel started worshiping idols, when Israel started going down the wrong paths, and when they turned their face away from God, that God would not bless the nation Israel. And if he won't bless Israel, his chosen people, I don't expect him to bless this church. See, the Bible says to forsake sin. To turn from it. Shun it. Flee from it. Run from it. And that old word that we don't hear much of anymore. Boy, I'm telling you, this sure ain't politically correct. And repent of it. Amen. Repent. Had a Christian debate me one time. Said, do you really have to repent? I said, yeah, you got to repent. He said that if you have faith and God will forgive you. I said, you got to repent. Jesus said, unless you repent, you'll likewise perish. Repent. Forsake them. Run away from it. Get away from it. I know this analogy is probably getting old. And you cat lovers will really be on me. I'm going to tell Jen, I went on Janice. I went one Sunday morning and sat up on the right beside her on the seat. And she said, that reminded me of George, my cat, when you sat there right beside me. I said, that you offended me worse than I have ever been offended. Since I've ever been. But I, as you most know, I don't care a whole lot for cats. But I'm terrified of snakes. And I have been scratched by a cat. I've messed up and picked one up. Every now and then they're kind of cute. And if you mess with one long enough, he's going to scratch you. But I haven't been bit by a snake because I don't touch them. And I see a snake, you know, and even now, if he's a cute little cat, I may get him up and cuddle him. If it's a snake, I'm telling you. There's one thing you do with snakes, in my book. But what if I viewed sin the same way as I view the cat and the snake? If I viewed sin like I do, scared, afraid of sin as I am, a rattlesnake. I tell you, you put a rattlesnake, you turn and say there's a rattlesnake loose in that church and I won't be in the door. Until somebody comes out with it. I mean, a black snake, I say, oh yeah, but a rattlesnake, no, I'm done. Worse than that, probably a copperhead. Say it's copperhead in it. Mm. But you say there's a cat in there and I'll come on in. I may kick him out, but I'm going to come on in. I wouldn't, George. How do we view sin? Do we view it like a kitten that we really don't like it, but hey, it's kind of cute. I think I'll pet him today. I won't pet him tomorrow. I won't pet him next week. But today I'm going to pet him. And then I'll go on about my business. I afraid we do that with sin. We say, well, I'm not turning away from God. But now, if it's a great old big temper rattler, we'd run. Most of us would. It might be some crazy enough that would mess with it, but not me. And I this thought just came to me years and years ago. Me and my brother and some guys was playing golf in Myrtle Beach. And there's a great big alligator laying out at the edge of the green. He was laying there not bothering nobody. We finished the hole. I went and got on the cart. Well, they got down there with their golf clubs messing with it. I said, Junior, you're ignorant. I'm out of here. No. That's crazy to mess with sin. See, it's as dangerous as a rattlesnake. It's as dangerous as an alligator. It'll take you and get a hold of you and take you to hell. It'll destroy your family. It'll cause an addiction that will destroy and take you to hell and take your family to hell with you. It'll destroy everything about it. Sin is serious to God. It ain't nothing to play with. And this morning I'm going to be doing you injustice if I don't stand here and tell you that we ought to watch our lives and we ought to walk with God and be in agreement with Him that sin's wrong and we shun it and run from it and repent of it. Now I know that after a message I preached, it's hard for people to come to the altar. Preacher's really laid it down, and it's going to look like I'm the worst person in the world. I'm going to ask you this morning, if God's moved on, don't worry about what nobody thinks. When you stand before God, it don't matter what somebody else thinks. When I stand before God, it don't matter if what I think Brother Jim thinks about me coming to the altar. I better be worried about what God thinks about where I am in my walk with Him. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning. And Father, I'm so thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful for the 66 books of the Bible that we have. I'm so thankful, God, for the person of the Holy Spirit. I'm thankful for a night that I mailed at the altar. I'm thankful, God, for a godly mother and a godly church that taught me right from wrong. Thank you for this church. God, that they support us so well and love us and encourage us. But God, we pray. Now I ask you to look upon our hearts. That you would touch us. Lord, help every one of us to realize where we are in you. I pray that you just turn us inside out. We see ourselves as you see us this morning. And Lord, that we would realize these little sins, this little bit of gossip, this little bit of backstabbing, this little bit of envy, this little bit of strife, this little bit of unforgiveness that we're harboring for someone, this little bit of saying things that we ought not say, and the lustful thoughts and the things that comes in our hearts and our minds, and Lord, these things that we just kind of play them off. And God, I pray that you'll help us today to realize the importance and the danger of these little things that we just put off as little besetting sins, and everybody's got them. And Lord, that Your word tells us that it's the little foxes that spoil the vines. It's not always the big bears and the lions. The little foxes that destroy the fruit. Lord, we allow them in our lives. And it's not great big sins. It's not great big things that get us put in jail. But it's the little things that your word says for us to refrain from and run from and repent of. God, I pray today you'd touch our hearts. God, we'd repent and see sin like you see it. Help us to walk with you in agreement. about the Word of God, about the will of God, and about sin. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Don't wait this morning. Will you come out? Come out on the first verse. Will you come? Will you come? Will you come this morning? If God spoke to you anyway, don't just stand back there. Come, and I tell you what, I want to walk in agreement. I want to be in fellowship with God. I want to be where He wants me to be. I fall so short and come up short every day. But it's not what I want to do. Will you come? See, the Bible says that I'll take all the things done in the dark and bring it out to the light. I don't want to wait to judgment day for it to be brought to the light. I want to go ahead and take care of it in my time with God. I want to take care of it around an altar. I don't want it to be brought out on the day of judgment. Tim, you never repented of this sin. You harbored this sin your whole life. You kept this sin. This was in your closet space. And now you're going to be judged for it. You're going to give an account for it. You're going to have to give an account for the question of it. This morning I want to ask you, if you've got something buried away, won't you bring it down and give it to God this morning? And don't make it be brought out later on. Will you come?
I am resolved to go to the Savior.
Will you come?